Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I've just been in the kitchen, Eva, and honestly, it is just so different and so quiet without having Ali there.
I know, it's just been so sad, hasn't it? I mean, it's been in our lives for over 18 years, which, you know, for a cat is a good old age. It's been a long time, but he was just such a loud and chatterbox, wasn't he? Just such a loud character, but I suppose we knew that he wouldn't be with us forever. And they do say, don't they, that heartbreak is the price that we pay for the love of our pets.
I mean, grief is the price that we pay for love, isn't it? But it's a price worth paying. And I suppose what we've got to do is make that shift and celebrate his life, but it still feels tough to do that.
But on a brighter note, we've obviously got our hunters GCSE results.
Well, and how incredible did the boy do?
I know.
We're the Speakmans, married couple, life change therapists, TV therapists, and authors of our latest book, Everyday Confidence. By the way, Eva, I recently found out a really good fact that totally blew my mind. One of my favourite films from the 80s, Lethal Weapon. You remember it, don't you?
I do.
Danny Glover. His most famous line, if you say Danny Glover, Lethal Weapon, people will say to you, I'm too old for this.
I poop. Don't. We've got young people that are listening.
Anyway, when he said that in the film, when he was too old for it, he was only 42.
Wow.
Can you believe it? Because I always thought he was in his 60s, but he was only 42, which is younger than I am now.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you were born old, Nick. But anyway, we absolutely love what we do, and that's helping people conquer their anxieties. And they might manifest as things like panic attacks or OCD or phobias. This is the place where you'll hear what others have been able to overcome, direct from them in their own words, coupled with our approach and some clever theory tips, so that you can feel able to make a change in your life.
So put your phone on silent and get ready, because this is Making the Change.
I know. I mean, I actually put on social media that you got 10 A stars, and somebody came back and said, no, it's 10 A double stars. And I
thought, because of the new system,
yeah,
because
the
it's
new
10
system.
Nines.
I know, yeah, you got 10 nines, which is amazing. And I'm just so incredibly proud of him, because he just worked so, so, so hard. So I honestly think that we should have a double celebration to celebrate Arnie's life. And I'm still in total shock, because we knew that he wasn't going to be with us forever, but I just didn't. You kind of don't expect that today's going to be that last day, do you? But
I suppose we go through life thinking that everything is going to be there forever. And that saying is, you don't really miss things until they've gone. It's so true, painful, but it's true.
It is. But we just need to celebrate his life, because he has been, I mean, like Olivia said, Liv's never really known life without him, because she's always said he was a best friend, because he's been here since she was about five. And Hunter's never known life.
No, he was older than Hunter.
Life without Arnie. But again, I think that he's given us so much joy. And Liv and I have been reminiscing. And that's, I think, what you have to do when you lose a loved one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm missing him like you won't believe. And, you know, I feel like a lot of moments in the day where I'm just going to have a little cry.
I know.
But luckily. We had him for almost 19 years.
Yes, I mean, 10 days off his 19th birthday. But luckily, he brought us a lot of joy, a lot of laughter, a lot of, oh, Arnie, please be quiet, because he just never, ever, ever, ever stopped chattering. In fact, him and Liv are so alike. She never stops talking either. And he was the same. And obviously, Hunter's exam results have just been another reason to celebrate. So it has been an eventful week for sure. And talking actually of Butluckily, because obviously that's our big thing, isn't it? That whenever something bad happens, whenever you feel negative, whenever you have a negative thought. Oh, hello. Buddy's come to say hello. Hello, little one. Whatever, yeah. He's playing with something under there. But yeah, when we've always sort of said, look, you know, if anything bad happens or you feel bad, then just finish the sentence with, but luckily. So that's a TikTok that we're new to TikTok, aren't we? So we've just done that.
We've just started on TikTok and I'm really enjoying it.
Do you know what? I am.
Well, really enjoying it.
Yeah, I am actually, because I think that people tend to be quite a lot more positive on TikTok and it is quite fun because it's just short little clips. I don't know, because it's me that tends to read all the messages and it really blew my mind, Nick, that we're there talking about, you know, we're not talking about world peace. We're just talking about a little bit of happiness in your life, in your thoughts, you know, just like it's raining, but luckily I've got an umbrella, that kind of thing. And it amazed me that somebody actually wrote on one of the comments was easier said than done.
Talk about grinding my gears. That annoys me so much because, you know, you can apply that to anything, everything. Is easier said than done.
And it don't
even
take
getting
a
out
lot.
Of bed in the morning is easier said than done.
Yeah.
But right, what do you want a life? Or do you just want to be easier said than done and just live in misery? Winds me up so much.
I know. And you know what? I would say that we are incredibly placid and very.
You know, even sending that message was easier said than done, wasn't it? They had the thought, right? But they actually did the message. They typed the message. And one other thing that grinds my gears: deep rooted.
Yes, mine too, actually. That does, yeah. Because a root's a root, okay? So if you've got something that's growing and you've got a weed, as long as you just pull it out, it's going to stop growing.
But it's that old thing in psychology that if you've had something a long time, then it's deep-rooted. But whoever came up with that in the first place lost sight of how long did it take to get it?
Mm.
And that's the thing. You know, if it takes you 10 seconds... to get a fear, a phobia, PTSD, to have a, you know, an OCD thought, then surely what we should be aiming for is having 10 seconds to take it away.
But I do understand. So in fairness to those that say deep-rooted, and it's not actually the person...
Pacify me.
But it's not the person that grinds our gears. It's the person wherever it came from to give people that thought process. Because if you believe that your issue is deep-rooted, then... it actually could make you feel worse. It could make you feel sadder. It could make you feel more complicated.
Inevitably, it'll make you feel worse because you think you can't get over it.
And it's that that grinds me gears because I feel it's an unfair statement. It's a hope stealer. That, you know, something that you might be stuck with something for life because it's deep rooted. And that's what really gets my goat is that, no, if you've got an issue, if you've got a condition that you weren't born with and it's something that's an emotional issue and it's something that's an anxiety-based issue, for example, or low self-esteem, it's not that it's deep-rooted. Yes, it might stem back from many years ago. However, there's always an origin where it came from. And if we accept that, you know, a root's a root, there's no...
But
there's
it's
no
just a silly deep. Statement. The fact of the matter is, you've had it a long time.
I think that's what people are saying. That's exactly it. They believe that they've got a deep-rooted issue because they've had it a long time. A lot of people believe they've got a deep-rooted issue because they're not really quite sure how their issue started, which I suppose is our area
of expertise. But if you put it into perspective, you can just say to them, right, you've had this a long time, but you've had friends a long time and then they've said something to you and they've upset you and then you've cut them off and you had nothing to do with them. Right?
Oh,
it doesn't matter what...
that's a good one, Nick.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter how long you've had something. It can finish.
True.
You know, I mean... bring it in a sad way, we had Armit almost 19 years. That was a long time. He's gone. That's what happens in life.
But you're absolutely right that you can have a friend that you've had for 40, 50 years, but if they do something against you, you can cut them off quite quickly because...
And it just shows you can get over anything.
So is that a deep-rooted friendship? No. You know, yes, you might be sad, but you can, you know, but you've got this new evidence. And I guess that's where it goes. I feel like we're a bit on our soapbox.
Yeah, but I feel like I am on it. But the deepest roots... the deepest roots on the planet, right, can be pulled out. End of.
Yes, absolutely. You just need a bit. You just need someone who's good with a shovel to be able to dig it out for you. But having said that, like I said, the main reason people believe it's deep rooted, and I really don't want people to think that anything's deep rooted that they weren't born with, because I worry that that would make them feel less able, or make it feel less possible to feel better.
Well, that's what grinds my gears. Hope stealers.
Hope stealers, okay.
Honestly, they do, because there is hope for everyone. And if you weren't born with some anxiety disorder or some issue, whatever that may be, I'm not talking medical issues here, but if you're not born with any psychological issue, you do not have to live with it. So I'm sorry, hope stealers, keep your opinions to yourself.
But I guess another reason people think things are deep-rooted is if there's a lot of behaviours that are associated to an issue. So, for example, if you have a phobia such as emetophobia, which is a fear of vomit, then that phobia is what's known as a complex phobia, not because it's deep-rooted, but because there's a lot of behaviours that may become associated with that. So because you've got a phobia of vomit, then that then might make you stop eating certain foods in case you become sick. It might make you not drink alcohol or want to go to pubs. It might keep you away from doctor's surgeries and school children. It might make you not want to have children.
Stop you having children, yes.
Exactly. And it might have OCD behaviour as well that attaches to it because you don't want to get a bug, so you're overwashing your hands and that sort of thing. So is that deep-rooted? No, but it is a complex issue because there's a lot of behaviours that are associated with it. Now, talking about all those things, from deep-rooted, from having something a long time, from having lots of therapy, from having a complex phobia, having lots of associated behaviours as a consequence of that phobia, we've got someone here with us now who actually had their issue for 57 years. And we met Nina earlier this year at one of our workshops. Nina was suffering with emetophobia, and Nina actually had her phobia as a consequence of an incident when she was 3 years of age and went into hospital to have a minor operation, and she got herself so upset that she was sick. And her recollection was that her mum had abandoned her at the hospital when she was three, but the truth was that her mum was asked to leave because Nina needed to go in for surgery. So when Nina was three and she was in hospital and her mum dropped her off and then left, Nina was so upset by her mum leaving that she was sick. And instead of realising that her upset was a consequence of being in a strange place with strange people and her mum leaving her, she actually attached all those feelings, all those anxieties to vomit. It's so lovely of you to join us, Nina. Thank you so, so much. And you're looking fantastic, by the way.
I've got to say, you look absolutely incredible and a totally different person to the one that we saw earlier this year.
I feel totally different, but I think it's down to, you know, the conversations we had on that day back in March. It really has changed the way I think, the way I eat, the way I, everything, absolutely everything, you know, differently to how I've done it in the last 57 years.
So for 57 years, you struggle with emetophobia. And emetophobia is a complex phobia, and it's one of the most difficult phobias to overcome. And it's something that I would say that without question, it's the phobia that we get asked the most about and most people seem to be struggling with. And most people will say, I don't know if you've ever heard of this. It's like it's something, you know, people just think it's just them. And yet for us, it's the most common phobia.
Absolutely right. And the more I've talked about it, the more I've heard of other people that feel the same and have felt the same. You taught me just to think about it all in a different way. I now see vomit as making me better or making the other person better. You know, that's just in my mind all the time. And when I was poorly a couple of weeks ago, in the bathroom by myself, normally I would have called my husband in, but I didn't. And my head just kept saying, you'll feel better afterwards, you'll feel better afterwards. And I got through it, first time ever, all by myself.
Amazing.
Amazing, well done.
And if I could just say that, I know that obviously we didn't know anything about you when you came to the workshop, so we met you there for the first time, which I think was about 5 or 6 months ago now. And we've been talking just before you joined us about sort of issues that might be considered deep-rooted. And sort of knowing what I do know about you, that you would be somebody that most people that would probably believe that their issue was deep-rooted. So when you came to see us, you'd had your issues for 57 years, your phobia for 57 years. It was definitely a complex phobia because emetophobia is, and it kind of spills into so many areas of our lives. So when you actually came to see us on that day in that workshop, did you have any expectation that after 57 years you'd walk out without your phobia?
Definitely not. I mean, I didn't know, obviously, how the workshops would go. I didn't ever think that I would get to say what I needed to say. you know, my life has been quite complex based on my feeling with the emetophobia. So a lot of other things have happened, and I thought maybe you might talk about stress or depression or, you know, something else that I'd be interested in. However, the emetophobia, it was almost as if I was there for the right reason. I was sat where I sat for the right reason. And it was my turn. You know, that's how I felt. It was my day. And it's just changed the way I think about illness. And I do have issues, stomach issues I've had since I was very young. Lots of hospital appointments and doctors saying you'll grow out of it. But the more I was in pain and the more they couldn't find anything wrong, the more my fear grew of what if I'm ill? What if I go somewhere and I'm ill and, you know, and being sick in public and making a fool of myself? And if somebody was sick at school when I was at primary school, I would have to leave the room. And I could play it over in my head for so many years afterwards at being, well, I say worse than childbirth, you know, the worst thing ever for me was that. And now it doesn't control me anymore.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Can I ask you, obviously you suffered with this 57 years. What had you tried to do in that period to overcome it? And you know, what, obviously, it, whatever you did, it didn't work. But what had you tried and what had you been told? Because as Eva said before, deep-rooted is something that we hear a lot.
Being a 60s child, the doctors were very unsympathetic towards anything that I suppose they didn't understand. And if it was today, if I was a youngster today going through the same sort of thing, I think they'd nail it quite quickly. But I was always told there's nothing wrong, grow out of it. You know, my auntie once said to me, why are you crying all the time? Because of my emetophobia, starting with fear of losing my mum when I'd gone to hospital, I used to follow her everywhere. I felt sick when she wasn't there. I felt sick, so then I panicked. You know, I was a crybaby. I always had to have one of my sisters with me. Always, because they were my safety, you know. So it's affected so many other things, but the doctors would always say, there's nothing wrong, grow out of it. Almost like the snap out of it, which we know is a horrible thing to say to anybody.
Had you ever had any therapy or sought any help for it through your life?
No, I hadn't, because I've had therapy, but not for, I had it more for a rift in the family, more than emetophobia. But I always felt that it couldn't have been real. It could have, it must have just been me, and I was just that odd person, you know. I've learned more as I've grown older that many people suffer from the same thing. I didn't know what it was called for so many years. So to have freedom from it now is just unbelievable. You know, it really does make the biggest difference in everything. I mean, I spent a lot of my teenage life literally eating dry bread or dry cream crackers because I was so scared that I would eat something else and then I'd be sick. So why would I put myself at that risk? And at one point, when my first daughter was born, nearly 38 years ago, I got into a cycle of where I didn't eat anything. And I used to have to go and get some liquid supplements from the shop because I just couldn't risk, you know, I'm going to be sick. So it played mentally. It really did affect everything. I didn't travel, wouldn't go on a coach, you know, don't like public transport, all of that sort of thing. What if? So I've read books about the fight or flight syndrome, that sort of thing. And in my head, I'd say, well, I'm going to flee. I'm going to run. So let's not put myself in that situation and I don't have to worry about it. I'm safe in my bed. That's what I used to think. So I think we've all got a safe place, haven't we, when we worry about something like that. And that's where it's been for me.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think that really can restrict so many people's lives because it's always your home can be a safe place and it's so easy to stay at home sometimes if you've got an issue like that. And a lot of people with emetophobia do struggle to leave the home. What I'd like to ask you is, obviously you came to our workshop and you didn't know exactly what to expect. So what was it that you took on board that allowed you to overcome this? And the reason I'm asking that question, Nina, is that emetophobia is a difficult phobia to overcome. And we've actually seen people in our private clinic and we've had to see them three times before they've got over it. And yet, in that moment, I know we were talking to you and you were one of our demonstrations as such, and it was less than 10 minutes. And I saw the shift and you just got it.
I think the way you both spoke, it was almost like when your parent tells you something that must be a fact because your parents are telling you. Like I would tell, you know, give advice to my children because I believe that it's the truth. Especially Nick, because you were in my head, oh my God, he's a bit stern. He's challenging me. Why? You kept saying, but why? But why? And I could suddenly see that connection with that vomit and my mum walking out of the hospital. You know, I was really tiny and it was the tiniest operation on my tongue that I was having. But because I was so bewildered and so scared, but you then said to me, but she didn't leave you, she came back. And I think that it made me think, oh yeah, she came back. And every time I was ill, as I was, you know, growing up at home, she would stand in the bathroom with me. She wouldn't speak to me, she would hold my hand. And I just tried to turn it around to think about those times rather than, oh my God, I'm going to be sick. Oh my God, I'm going to be sick. You know, because even coming to the workshop was nerve-wracking, but I knew, and I had my friend Kath with me, I knew that I didn't know why I needed to come, but I knew I did. I didn't know what the outcome was going to be. So it was the way you said it to me. I'm quite good at the power of suggestion. You know, give me that idea, I will mull it over and then I will put it into practice. And because it's such a big issue for me, it was such a big issue, what you said had to stick. So it was the way you gave it to me. Eva, if I might say this, you're the soft one. You do the lovelies. Nick was more, but why? But why? And that made me think, what am I making this fuss for? Because you have to get bad stuff out of your system, don't you? You have to, better out than in. That's what I keep thinking now.
So our, as you now know, because you've experienced it, our approach is we find the origin of where it started. So question, I know that we know now where it started because you were in hospital as a little girl and you were very upset. Had you realised when you first came to see us, did you know the origin?
I knew the origin all my life, but I didn't know how to separate that from the fact. Not at all. I'm quite a nostalgic person. So whereby my sisters will say, oh, that was yesterday. You know, that was last year. That was 20 years ago. I'm not. I hold on to a lot of my childhood. And I think, again, that's my safety. You know, we were brought up with my mother and my grandparents. We all lived together and there was always somebody there. And the other thing was that if somebody was sick at school, I would run home. I would literally, because we lived just down an alleyway to home, and I would run home. And my family, we all laugh about it, but it was huge to me right up until March. You know, through pregnancy, I was so, so grateful never to have sickness, never. apart from in labour. And then I thought I was going to die. You know, and again, I had to have somebody as my safety to stand with me and hold that bowl for me, because to me, being sick was worse than having a forceps birth with my daughter. It was worse. But it's the fact that you challenged me on it. You didn't just accept what I was telling you. You challenged me. And then, so what's the outcome? Actually, I felt better and my mum was still there. And, you know, so I'm breaking things down, I guess, now.
So you came, you knew that your phobia started when you were 3 years of age from memory, went into hospital and your mum was forced to leave you. It wasn't a choice, but that was the way that things had to work in hospital. We knew the origin, and then the next bit of our therapy and our approach is positive evidence to realistically kind of fight the corner of the vomit, being that vomit didn't do anything wrong. Vomit actually saves life. It's our body's first line of defense and it helps get toxins out of our body. So obviously that is our approach, and that's kind of what we did with you. And it was very obvious that within a very short space of time, like you say, you could see that you were really taking this on board, and there was this kind of like a look on your face like, oh my God, yes, I'd never thought of it like that before.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It was that typical light bulb moment. Absolutely. And it's just changing the mindset. You know, I won't deny feeling sick or being sick is never going to be a nice thing, but it doesn't have to be something that changes everything about me, which it has. And I just wish I'd met you guys many, many, many years ago.
There's a reason for everything. And what I, for me personally, is, and I think that Nick will probably agree with me, is that what's been lovely about you coming to us when you did and having gone through what you did is that there's actually a lot of positive repercussions that have come from that, Nina. And from our perspective, we know now that you are this wonderful, incredible person that comes on our live chats. You help people, you speak to people, you inspire people, because a lot of people will say to us, ah, yeah, but, you know, that person that you helped, they only had their emetophobia for 20 years. You had yours for 57. So it's almost like you've satisfied all the people that would perhaps have a bit of a, ah, yeah, but, you've kind of satisfied all those that, you know, you have lived with it for 57 years. It could be considered deep-rooted because of the amount of time that you'd had, because of the behavioural implementations of avoidance that you'd added in. So you would be considered that kind of stereotypical deep-rooted, but you are absolute proof that it doesn't matter how long you've had anything, that you're not born with it, then just a simple change of perspective and seeing it in a better way can make you feel better.
And can I get a word in here? Honestly, you're just going on and on.
I know,
today,
but it's my job.
Right.
I'm a wife. That's what I do.
Yeah. It was amazing that you overcame this in 10 minutes, or even less what it was. And yet some people hold on to it. And the reason behind that is the fact that having emetophobia is an unacceptable situation. And to keep that, over the years, you've got to justify why you've got it and why you can't do all these things. And the more justification that you build up, the harder it can be to let go. Because even though we're giving contrary evidence and saying, yes, but what did the vomit do? And, you know, a lot of people go, well, yeah, I know vomit doesn't do anything. I know vomit's okay. It doesn't do anything. But, you know, but you got it straight away. But some people just don't get that. And as Eva's saying, it's lovely because now you get involved in our lives and you say to people, well, I had 57 years. And that in some way doesn't leave any other people anywhere to go.
Yeah, you can.
If you've only had it for 10 years, well, yeah, what's the big deal?
You silence the yeah buts. You're like, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but.
I think you have to be ready for that change. I think you have to be really desperate to accept that there's another reason for your having emetophobia and wanting to get rid of what that reason was and challenge it. And I know I'm quite a deep thinker and I do analyse everything I say and everything I do. Not always right, but I do. I write everything down. You know, it's changed me in as much that I would say now I had emetophobia. But luckily, you taught me that I can challenge it and I can change the way I feel and the way I cope with it. You know, I've worked with kids all of my adult life and I've seen so much. I've moved away from so much vomit. But before the end of term, I saw somebody being sick and I didn't go anywhere. And that's huge. I didn't even deal with my own children's. My husband used to do all that. So it's just huge. And what else can you do with that information bar help somebody else? You have to do it, as far as I can see, you know.
Nina, thank you. Honestly, you're just brilliant. We so appreciate you giving us the time today and for all that you do and for helping others and just being you. You're fab. We love you lots.
Thank you.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye.
What we helped Nina with and how we approach Nina's situation is exactly the same. It's the identical formula for anyone who's suffering. And that, like I say, any anxiety disorder or even things around confidence.
Should we just go through it?
Yeah. No, okay. I mean, if you look, I mean, it's just such a, it's always the same formula. So the first thing is, you know, how did it start? What was it that occurred that created that fear? And more importantly, how did you perceive it?
Because and the best way to find that is a timeline.
Always, yeah. You know, that right in that timeline. And I know that we go on about this a lot, but, you know, how are you supposed to find the origin, you know, just from sort of trying to pluck it out of thin air? Whereas if you actually write a timeline, it's amazing that not only does it give you a kind of a pattern of your life, but just writing those things down will then stimulate other thoughts and other memories. And it could just be one of those that's like hidden underneath there that you've not thought about for quite a long time, which often it can be. Find the origin and then you've got to change your perspective, just like we did with Nina. You know, whatever it is that people are struggling with, understand how you perceived it and then change it.
That's right. And you'll only, until you start looking for an alternative way to perceive it, you'll always see it in the same way. And she saw it through the eyes of that 3-year-old child who felt abandoned. Whereas a good way to look at it is imagine that you're a fly on the wall.
Yes.
In that room. And what did that fly see? Because that fly wouldn't have perceived that her mum was abandoning her, because the fly would have seen what happened and also seen that mum came back.
Yeah, this is a very intelligent fly.
It is, yeah. Well, you can credit flies with a lot, you know, you'd be surprised.
But you've got to consider what you're avoiding. We say this a lot, but, you know, why was that to blame? So you've got to consider what you're avoiding and how that actually was to blame and how you might have got it wrong. Because what we know is that, again, Nina, excellent example of Nina blaming the wrong thing. So she blamed vomit and her vomiting for all those feelings of anxiety and fear and abandonment. And it's understandable because she was only 3 when that happened. But you've, you know, anybody that you've got an issue, yeah, if you fear something, you've always got, I like that thought, you've got to be like a barrister, but you've got to be the defence and not the prosecution, because up until coming to the workshop, you know, Nina was having a real go.
Prosecuting in vomit.
And we were saying, look, jump ship, get into the defence and try and defend it. And that's exactly what we did.
How can you defend vomit?
Well, we defended it by giving her loads of positive evidence about, you know, how it saves lives, how it's our body's first line of defence with toxins, etc. And then you've got to consider, just as we did with, say, to Nina, it's like, well, how might you have got it wrong? And that's what you've really got to think, is, you know, I don't want this issue anymore. So don't keep trying to feed it. Don't keep trying to justify it. Don't keep trying to prosecute whatever it is that you're fearful
of. The fact of the matter is, vomit is a lifesaver. And if you want to prosecute vomit and send it to prison, then it's an injustice.
Exactly. And if you're a fair person, that's not right either.
But also, looking to the future, you've got to say, a lot of people say, I can never get over this. I can't see ever getting over it. You've got to say, I can get over this.
Yeah,
I might not be getting over it right now, but I can get over it. And see yourself living life without it.
Definitely.
Because everyone can live the life without metaphobia.
Or any anxiety or fear or trauma.
Can
or
live your
issues.
Life without it.
I mean, you can't forget things. I know that when we talk about trauma, you can't forget things, but what you can do is change your perspective of that thing that is replaying to you. And like you say, you've got to really kind of go, yeah, I can get over it. You've got to be positive. And then
I love the statement, one day we'll look back in this and laugh. And I know I've said that a lot, but Nina can now look back on those 57 years and she can laugh.
Yeah.
At the silly thoughts that she had.
Yeah.
But why wait?
Yeah, absolutely. And then I also think that I'm going to say gradual exposure here, but I don't mean gradual exposure and that's it. I think that gradual exposure should come in once you start challenging your belief.
Yes.
You know, because I think that if
you've got to do that first.
Yeah, you've got to
challenge
your belief.
If you do gradual exposure before,
it can actually make it worse. Yeah. It can do, because what it's actually doing is exercising the fear. Whereas if you challenge the thing that you fear, or that the thing that you're worried about, and you start to be that defence and sticking up for it, and with small gradual exposure, then that actually kind of gives you evidence and strength to you know, to actually change your belief system. And then obviously avoid, and then particularly with things like emetophobia, I know that I've spoken to a lot of people that have found that their issue, their emetophobia or their agoraphobia, whatever it might be, has actually got worse because they've joined certain groups. So you've got groups that are brilliant because they can really help support, yeah, and sort of guide you through. But then there's a lot of groups out there that are literally just comparing symptoms, and that can actually make your issue far, far worse because and we've heard it so many times where somebody might suggest something and go, well, I was sick in XYZ place. And then that gives you then thinking, oh my God, well, I better avoid that. But when all else fails, if you're struggling, get yourself a timeline, go and see your doctor, get yourself some therapy, take that timeline with you to therapy and start to talk through the origins so that you can change your perspective. Because the truth is that everybody, without exception, can live life phobia-free, anxiety-free and be happy.
We might have only just recorded this podcast, but we love speaking so much. I don't know about you, Eva, but I'm already looking forward to recording next week's episode. Make sure you don't miss any of our new podcasts, so please subscribe to Making the Change on your favourite podcast app. And that way, our next episode will drop very handily onto your phone as soon as it's available.
Are you really proud of the change that you've made in your life? You should be. I bet other people would find it really valuable hearing how you did it. And if you want to join us on our podcast, come and say hello on Facebook, Twitter or Instagram. Just search us, The Speakmans, and use the hashtag Making the Change.
Wow, that went so fast. So all that's left to say is a big thank you to Nina, our amazing guest, and our producer, Anushka Tate, for Orion Publishing Limited, and of course, to you for listening. We really, really do appreciate you joining us every week. So until next week,
keep making the change. Bye. This podcast is not a substitute for medical or psychological intervention, nor is the content intended to replace therapy or medical help or advice.
We would therefore always strongly encourage you to speak with your doctor or a health professional about how you are feeling, and also to inquire.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
About counseling or therapy.